gospel, send the light into all the world. And it continues to be a very humbling experience, and yet one of great honor to be involved with you and as a congregation in our sending the gospel to a number of places. But tonight we're looking at India. Appreciate Brother Charles Thigpen and the work he continues to do there. And he's with us tonight, and Juanita, his wife. Well, we're glad that you're here tonight also. This morning in Kirk's lesson, he quoted an old phrase that I think continues to be new and very meaningful, and it surely does apply to this congregation, and that is simply the fact that ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. This congregation does have the ability, and that's frightening in one respect because it means that we do have responsibility. And then God's given us great opportunity. And so with the ability that He's given us and the opportunities that He's given us, thank God, as a congregation and as a leadership here, we're trying to fulfill that responsibility. I want to mention just very briefly before we get into looking at some of the slides that there's something over 6 million billion people in this world today. 1.3 billion of those people live in India. It is an amazing fact that there's such a white under-harvest field in that country, and I'm glad that we can have a part of that. Sean Butterfield, thank you for helping us with the slides, and Billy with the sound tonight. And so I'm just going to sit down now, and we'll together look at some of these, and I hope that you find this interesting. What I really hope I don't do is distract from the greatness of this work, because it is truly outstanding. But this is our report for this past February of this year, when Charles and I and Brother William Woodson went to India. Okay. There's always the shock when you first get into India. We usually go into Bombay, and just the culture shock, no matter how many times you've been there. I just thought it was interesting, the little sign you see there, the yellow sign, that's where we find telephones to call back home. It's very inexpensive to call, but it's an experience just to stand on the street like this and make a long-distance call back home. Okay. Of course, our aim was to get down to Chennai, to Madras. This is the college there that just recently been painted, so you can't miss it. But this is a great ongoing work, all right? It's amazing to realize that in the last 16 years, there have been 300 men who have been trained. And this is a 3.5-year program that they go through. But those men now are spread all across India and are doing a tremendously good job in spreading the gospel as they've been trained here. All right. This building is used for some Sunday morning services. It's a relatively new building. We also had some of the lectures here, and Brother Woodson taught here, okay? Little Timothy School has been going on for a good many years. It meets in this building, all right? They were having their lunch today. All of the schools in India, the children wear uniforms. Each school has a different color. It's a little bit sad to realize this school is probably going to close soon just because of some government harassment and also just lack of funds to keep it going. But it's been going on and doing a good job for many years, teaching Hindu children as well as others. All right. Children are happy. It's just always a joy to be with them. Okay. We also had the experience this time of being a part of a wedding. You might be able to see on that table there's various kinds of fruit, oranges, and I'm not sure, coconuts and what all else, but the bride came down the aisle just about like they do here and had a part in that wedding that was real interesting, okay? Most of you realize that Brother Peter Solomon has a television program now in India that really spreads all over the country. And he just gets tremendous response from it. Just during the month we were there in February, they had had requests for 272 Bible correspondence courses. And there are many people that are being converted through that means. All right. He's a granddaddy, and you granddaddy, and like all of us, he was happy. Okay. Brother Woodson had the opportunity again this year to teach in the college. The students just really appreciate his coming and with his knowledge and ability, it's been a real blessing to those students. Okay. Also at this time, the lectureship each year, the annual lectureship, this is the 27th lectureship at the college, was going on. Okay. Brother Woodson, one of the speakers, Charles, and then some of the Indian brethren also spoke on the lectureship. All right. These men were from various sections of India. The one to Brother Woodson's right, the second man, is, if you look at the map behind them, right behind Charles Thigpen, there's a white area. And that's where a lot of persecution has been going on, even some throats cut of those who claim to be Christians. And the preacher that's to Brother Woodson's right, the second one over, preaches in that area. And it's just rather horrifying to hear some of the stories that they're having to face in that area of India. All right. These are some of the preachers that are supported through Graymere. They're just spread in many areas around India, but had come together along with many others to the lectureship. Okay. Then there's the graduation each year, and it takes place in February. They usually have about 50 students enrolled. That's all they have really accommodations for, and these are those who are graduating this year. All right. Brother Woodson spoke to them and really gave a moving address to the students. All right. And then we had the opportunity of giving the diplomas to the students. The ones in white are the ones receiving their master's degree. Okay. I thought you might be interested. This is the Sinagar congregation. Preachers are on either end. Peter Solomon on the left. Jeva Kumar on the right, and then the other men there are the elders of the congregation there. Okay. Then we went up to a city called Arakonam, and James Johnson is the preacher that's on that motorbike. He was leading us over to a new congregation that he has started, and also a school. All right. Not Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay. And also, you can still pick your transportation. They do have a lot better transportation today, but still, you see a lot of this, okay? James has started a little school there, and we were very impressed with what he's doing with those children, okay? You notice their uniforms, too, all right? These children sang for us, and they just do a good job. All right. He's also started in the same building a part-time preacher training school. And so this is a preacher that Graymere is working with, and he has a new preacher school started here in Arakonam. Okay. While we were there, we had a meeting with this new congregation. These were just some of the people that got there a little bit earlier, but you notice they have their Bibles and things with them, all right. Has a thatched roof there, but it's a good meeting place, and we enjoy being with them, all right. It just thrills you how intense the people are in listening and bringing their Bibles and just studying along with you, okay. Now, this is also in Arakonam, and the preacher here is one that we work with. This is a new church building. We really didn't have anything to do with building this per se. He's been working on this for a long time, but it's one of the finest church buildings that our brethren have in India that I have seen. And just recently they have moved into it, have outgrown a little building they had prior to this. All right. And this is Sagayam, one of the really intelligent men. He teaches in the Bible College in Madras, constantly doing home Bible studies. Other younger preachers are constantly coming to him for advice, and he's just an extremely hard-working man. He's lost his wife some time back and also now his son. Okay. But always around the corner, you find the Hindu temples, the idolatry that continues to spread throughout India. All right. Now we're back in Madras on a Sunday morning during February. There were some 22 that were baptized here, but like we do, they were after services, just enjoying visiting and talking to each other. Okay. This brother has a rather unique means of transportation. He uses his hands to pedal, but if you look closely at his hands, you'll notice he has no fingers. He's a leper, and his fingers have just been eaten away. So I really don't know how he handles that, but he does well with it. All right. Now, if you look near the bottom in the pink, you see Chennai, and we have a good many works in that state. And then if you look up to the left from the yellow, you see Goa. We have work there. And then moving directly across to the right, there's Hubli. And then the other state, Andhra Pradesh, we went to a new work. We have a man that we're working with now in that state. And the best we know how to pronounce that city is J.R. Gudum. So that's where we were going up there, all right? Okay. We flew into this little airport, little prop plane, and as always, the brethren want to welcome you, and they put a lathe around you. But it was right funny. As we were in a crowd coming through that little airport, we could see up ahead of us yellow petals just being thrown up in the air and all kinds of going on. And we got up there, and they put those yellow lathes on us. And Brother Woodson said to me, he said, "That sure was nice of all those folks to have those, you know, to greet us like that with all those petals flying up in the air." I said, "Brother Woodson, they weren't greeting us. There was a Hindu priest on that same airplane." and that was a bunch of Hindus that were welcoming him. Brother Woodson said he was humbled. But after we got there, we had about a two-hour drive to J.R. Gudum, where we were going to work for a while. All right. This is Nagabushnam. The Etheridge congregation really supports Nagabushnam, but he has helped us so many ways. And the church building that we're involved in building in Hubli, he's overseeing that. He's built some 60 church buildings. Some of the brethren in Etheridge and Lawrenceburg helped him build this house. And he invited us to stay with him, and we stayed there, I think, 3 or 4 days. And his wife cooked breakfast for us and supper, and there was a room there for us to stay in. All right. When he went here several years ago to this town, he and two brethren from the States wanted to start the church there, and they set up, rented a hall, and passed out leaflets all over town about this meeting they were going to have. Nobody came. Next night, nobody came. And so the brethren decided this wasn't going to be a good place. But Nagabushnam said, "I'm going to stay here." People laughed at him and mocked him. But he has built a tremendous congregation now here in this city. And some other work as well we'll look at, okay? They were having a leadership meeting here, and he does this annually, all right? This was about 50 preachers from all around that area of India who come together. They stay there about a week, I think. They sleep on that concrete floor. But we had an opportunity to study with them several days, just taking turns teaching. Brother Woodson, I and Charles, we would just kind of rotate and taught on this particular day, all right? Brother Woodson, well, again, they just want to welcome you, all right? One of the elders welcoming Brother Woodson that he was about to start teaching, okay? So he taught this day, and while he was teaching those preachers this day, Charles and I made about a, what was it, 2-4 hour trip? Several hour trip down this road to see the man that we're working with now in this area. That's a rice field, by the way. The women work out in those fields. I asked somebody, I said, "Don't the cobras get out there?" And they said, "Yeah." And every year there are some people who die from cobra bites in fields like that, okay? But they had a meeting set up here, and first time we'd ever been to this city, and they had advertised it and had a crowd there, all right? This is Philip Raju. He's a graduate from the Bible College in Madras. He and his wife and the little ones are his children, and then some of the brethren there with him. Okay. But he had set up a pretty sizable meeting there that day. All right. Charles preached, I preached. We had a good meeting there that day. All right. This is by no means all of the people that came. There were a good many others that came in after this and kind of stood around the walls in the back and the side. Okay. And then, like us, they like to eat. He's passing out rice on these kind of tinfoil plates, and you'll notice there are no utensils. They just eat with their fingers. Okay. Before we started and had the meal, however, I really enjoyed just going up and down, speaking to the people, and they just truly seemed to be appreciative of us coming and trying to work with them and made us feel welcome while we were there. All right. This is Philip Raju's dwelling. It's very small. It's just the front part there, the kind of light-colored. There are two houses in that picture. The church meets in this place also, so they're pretty crowded. He just wants so badly to have a church building, but not much anyway we can do that right now. But he seems to be working hard and doing a good job, but he lives there, and the church meets there also. Okay. Then we headed back, not down the dirt road. That's just kind of typical of the scenes that you see along the way. And we were headed back to J.R. Goodham, okay? But again, as you pass along, even out in some of the rural areas, you see so many of these Hindu temples. Talk about idolatry. I mean real idolatry. Baal didn't have anything on these people. And this is one of the monkey gods that they worship. Okay, these are huge statues. This is still another Hindu temple. And monkeys run wild over there just like the cows do. While we were staying with J.R. Goodham, I noticed some people next door had a big stick trying to run some of them off the top of their house because I think it was the day before the monkeys had attacked a man and he had fallen down a flight of steps and was hurt. But the monkeys just go where they want to. And they've been pretty vicious in some places lately. But can you imagine worshiping that? But this is just kind of a collage of some of the things we were doing while we were there, having an opportunity to teach and work with the preachers for several days. Okay? Also, at night, we would go out and hold village meetings. Some of the people had already come in when I took this picture. But the meeting didn't start until 9 o'clock at night. But these are people who've been working out in the field, but they would come, okay? And this is Nagabhushanam is on the left in this picture, and the man on the right is preaching for this congregation. And when he was just a very young boy, Nagabhushanam took him into his home. I guess he was abandoned. And he and his wife raised the boy, and now as a man, he's a gospel preacher also, okay? And then one evening we went out to this place. Really didn't understand where we were going at first. Okay. But when we got there were about 60 orphans here. And they were all dressed up. And okay, and the little girls there, and then there were some of the boys. All right. And look at that little girl putting the lady around Charles. I don't know how in the world she reached up there and get that. But she was a brave little thing. the children came up and they quoted verses and said all the books of the Bible, and some of them told us about how they didn't have any parents but how well they were being taken care of there. Okay. Just wanted to bring some of them home with you if you could. They were just really precious little children. And okay. We went out there the next day, and the children were all at school at this time, okay? But a group of widows had gathered. If I have ever seen a congregation of the Lord's Church doing what they did in Acts 6 of taking care of the widows and the orphans, these brethren are doing it, okay? And so each month they come, and the church there gives them a little bit of money. He was letting us hand them some of those things, and that's about all these widows are going to have for a month, all right? And then we went out, and there's a big sack of rice to my left, and then a small sack there full of corn. And each of these widows had a sack, and we would scoop out 5 canfuls of rice and pour it in their sack. And then they'd have another little sack, and we'd put a can full of corn in there for them. This is probably the greater portion of their food for a month. Okay? So that was a little can that we would fill up and put in their sacks. Okay? And then we'd give them, as Brother Woodson is here, oil, cooking oil. Okay? And there they have their sacks with their rice and their corn in it. Before they left, had a prayer with them. But that's what the early church was doing, caring for the widows and the orphans, and they are truly doing that, all right? But before we left, the children were coming in from school. Again, you can see their uniforms. You notice the little boy in the back, that British salute, and that's the way they often greet you. But you can tell that they're happy and obviously well cared for, okay? Just as clean and nice as they can be, okay? This was an interesting sight at this place. We assigned over one of the doors of a room where the New Lycia congregation outside of Columbia here had sponsored that particular room, okay? This is where the children sleep. It's a 3-tiered bunk. It looks pretty. You don't see any mattresses on there, just kind of a quilt down there. But if they weren't here, they would be out on the street somewhere, more than likely, and they are happy to be here. This was the boys' area, okay? Thought it was also interesting how the girls help each other fix their hair, okay? And little boys had to have their picture made, too, if the girls were going to get theirs, and the boys wanted theirs, okay? Then again that night, we went out to another village and started again at 9 o'clock at night. And the people would sit right there for an hour or more. You see them, they have their Bibles with them. Most of them sit on the floor, okay. We all had an opportunity to take part in the service, okay. It's interesting how the women sit on one side and the men on the other side, okay. I really hated to leave. This was one of the most enjoyable and fulfilling times we had had. We'd been there several days. The man on the right is Nagabushnam's youngest son. He's the one that would bring us a big bucket of hot water every morning to shave and bathe. So we were back at the airport ready to leave. Okay. Our next stop was New Delhi. While we were there, we always stay in this YMCA hostel. Okay. Charles looks like he's saying, "You mean I got to get in there?" And he did. That was our main means of transportation, a 3-wheel rickshaw kind of affair. Chuck Workman can tell you about those. Then Sunday morning we met with the church there in New Delhi. There's a couple that the West 7th Street congregation is helping there also from the States. Okay. If I, Larry, that fella could really lead singing. He was like y'all. He didn't have but one gear, and that was wide open. But it was beautiful singing, okay? The church in Hubilee. This is an area we've been working with. There was no church in Hubilee, as I remember, when we first went there several years ago. They have a really fine congregation there now. They met in the preacher's home until they just completely outgrew it. Then they were meeting in a schoolhouse, but then the authorities, the neighbors, caused so much trouble they had to leave there. So they really didn't have anywhere to meet. They started meeting on the roof of the preacher's house, and then the police came and said, "We're going to tear this down if you don't quit doing this." So for years and years, they had dreamed of having a building. The Northview congregation is helping with this work now, and so they've got a building started, okay? Charles just mentioned that building is finished now. This was the roof being constructed so that eventually, if they needed it, they could add a second floor, okay? members of the congregation watching them work. Okay. All right. But they are so thankful for that. I'm glad they can meet in there now. They you see the steps there on the right side. They did build that so that someday, and it won't be long, they'll need that. They're growing so rapidly in that city. Joel Providosh is the preacher that we work with there. Okay. And this is a scene typical of what's going on every day with some of the brethren in India. This is Vijay Kumar, his wife. Here they're assisting in baptism a young lady who is from the Brahma class, the class system. And that's the higher class system. But her family really didn't want her to become a Christian, but she did. Okay. You'll notice they just go out in a pond somewhere often to do that, all right? It'll be hard on her from family and others, but I think the brethren will stay with her. But things like this are just happening day after day, all right? I mentioned earlier as we started that there are some 1.3 billion people in India. And the sad part about it is most of them have never heard the pure gospel of Christ. And that's why it's so important that we continue to evangelize in this great country. And to get some perspective on a billion, okay? If you were to take a stack of $1,000 bills totaling $1 billion, it would stack up to 63 miles high. Now, you compare that with a jet airplane, they fly 30, 40,000 feet. That's about 5.77 miles high. But a billion would have reached 63 miles high. Okay? Or another way of looking at it, a billion minutes ago, the Roman Empire was in full swing. And to think that there are more than a billion people living in that one country, and so many of them are anxious for the gospel and will readily accept it when they have the opportunity to do so. Okay? So again, that's our charge, isn't it? That's the marching orders the Lord gave us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. And that's what Graymere and other congregations are doing. So we're thankful to have the opportunity to go, and we thank you for having confidence in us and letting us go. Brother Thigpen is going to have some remarks, and we'll extend the invitation now. Either way.
I don't know why John was so set on telling you all about India, and then I finally realized it's because he deserted me. And he and William came home, and John had some little medical excuse. But anyway, the work that the Graymere started, and if you can believe it, it has been 28 years ago since I very timidly back then stood here and tried to think up some way to convince you to take that work. And over the years, it's expanded from a small area that we thought we could cover to probably half the area of India. We don't always have opportunity to stop in all places, but we travel quite a lot. Travel has become a lot easier over the years. The auto rickshaws are still a nice way to get around, and we travel other ways. Trains are good, planes are faster, so we cover a lot of area. The congregations in India have grown, not only spiritually, but in other ways. They're now teaching people to contribute. They're now reaching other people. When I first went to India in 1979, it was almost impossible to preach and teach the upper caste people. Now they're beginning to meld it a little together, and we have people that are Christians that are very influential. Some of them quite wealthy in their society. In some congregations, they're able to buy a plot of land, or in many cases, the government will even give them land now, where John was showing the place where the building was built is a carpenter's village. And most of the people that live there indeed are carpenters. I'd like to tell you the story about traveling out there in a kerosene taxi in a temperature of about 130 degrees, but you'll have to catch me aside sometime and I'll tell you about that. But they were able to secure this land. They built the building of their own volition with a little help from Brother Royce Frederick, that has a program where they will build a building. They call it Churches Without Walls. What they do, they pour the foundation, they put up the columns and a concrete roof. The building that you saw in Hubley was also helped by that, but because of the large congregation, it was made a little larger and some additional work and people contributed, and we were able to use some funds to help them. But that building is complete now, and they are using it for worship, and many people are coming. They're going to run over. I don't know what they'll do. Maybe we can go another floor. But several preachers that have attended various schools, either at Brother Noggle Bushnam's or the National Bible College or other schools around, are preaching for congregations. They're able to buy or secure land. They're attempting to build buildings by themselves, and some men that are helping, congregations are helping. And it's nice to see the change over the 30 years that has happened to the congregations there. Because when it was congregations of only five or six people meeting, preachers struggling because they had very little support, it was difficult for them financially. Now people are giving. They've been taught to give. But money's a hard thing to come by in India. The economy is... I hope there's no English teachers here, but the economy is worse than ours. And money is really a difficult commodity to come by for these people. But yet they struggle, they save, and they do all they can to do what they can for themselves. The leper colonies are doing quite well because people see the love and care that the Christians have. The brother that was in the picture on the hand-pedaled cycle, the brother that we worked with for so long died. He was actually an inspector for the lepers and was paid a little stipend by the government. The gentleman you saw in the picture is now his replacement. He gets, I think, maybe $6 a month to do the inspecting, to check and see. And an interesting thing, just to show you that they do what they can, even though he doesn't have any fingers, he has started two of the leper colonies making shoes for the lepers because they have to have a special designed sandal to wear because most of them have no toes and in some cases maybe only half of their feet. So they design and make these sandals and distribute them and or sell them. And the government buys some, so they're able to have some support like that. It's amazing to see over the, how many ever years, I can't subtract 79 from 2009, but those years, the influence that Christians are now able to have, the sway and influence they have on people. Because 1979 up until not many years ago, they were harassed. The government looked down on them. It's getting a little better even from the high government. I was telling someone not long ago about the Batzel Barrett Baxter film that we made. It was very professional. They were on 16 millimeter reels, John, and John set up a screen in his house and videoed it with his little video camera many, many years ago, and the technology wasn't very good. But we were showing that in a village, and a man came and told me that he was with AIR, which is All India Radio, and that they were starting a TV program. Am I not loud enough back there? I see some people look like they're strange. I'll try to speak up. But anyway, the lesson that Brother Baxter was teaching is, what is the Church of Christ? And he said they were going to have a program about world religions, and would we give him permission to use that film? And I told him that two things, that we would like to see it before he showed, you know, put it on the air to see that it was edited properly. And he said, sure, we'll do that. And he even came to the hotel and showed me the video that they would show. It was very precise, exactly what the church was. That was the very first religious program broadcast in India. So the government is taking a better view of Christianity. And things are improving, just like the building you saw in Hubli. These people went and actually leveled that lot, hauled stones, made the foundation, and did a lot of the work themselves. And now they have a nice building. I tried to get a picture of the finished building and show you, or maybe John can show you before long. But John didn't tell you that when he and William came home, we had planned to go to Vietnam and Myanmar and Thailand. And in the way we were, or the reason that I planned to go to Thailand, it's a nice stop from Vietnam up there. And there was a young lady that came on an exchange student program to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and live with a couple that's members of the church at Etheridge, and was in Juanita and another lady's class at church. So one night she went home and told the family she was living with, says, I need to be baptized. Well, they were a little concerned about what her family would say, so they said, well, let's call your parents and tell them. And she said, oh, they'll be happy. So she called the mother and father, and indeed they said, yes, if that's what you want to do, it's fine. So they were put in touch with the congregation in Thailand, and I wanted to visit them. But unfortunately, they were away from home while I was there, but, what, 2 weeks ago? Have to ask the lady that knows everything. About 2 weeks ago, her mother came to America, because now not only is the girl that was here in school, but she brought her sister, and both of them are going to school. So her mother came to visit, and she came to Etheridge to visit and was just elated about the church and all the help that they had. I was able then to go on to Vietnam and see the changes there. We're getting help from some other people. Bill McDonough is living in Cambodia, but he's transferring his operation to Myanmar to help with that cyclone relief. And so we're getting a lot of help and furnishing a lot of help with some of the men that we support, but yet it's all for the Lord's work. So the Grey Mere Church, not that you're prideful, but can take comfort, I guess, in the fact that the work that you started, that we started 28 years ago, is spreading and is alive and well, if you will. We've had problems. We've had preachers that would go astray and leave the work and different things. But opposition from the governments especially is much easier. The government in Vietnam is more open to the registering or the re-registering of the church there. And they are able to meet without having to sing very softly. I asked one of the brothers, I said, well, says, how does it feel? He says, it's wonderful that we can sing loud. And so things go, and yet we in America have it easy. We have comfortable buildings, we have good transportation, and yet the gospel is sometimes hindered because of all the things that we have. This evening we have an opportunity to extend the Lord's invitation just like we do in India. If you've heard the gospel and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him before men and be buried with Him in baptism, the Lord will add you to His church. And if you live faithful, you'll have a home in heaven. You have that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that was selected.